Turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 16. This is Labor Day weekend. In case there are people who are not informed or misinformed, Labor Day is actually a day that you're not supposed to work. All the time growing up, I didn't know that. On the farm, I said, "Dad, what's Labor Day?" He said, "That's the day you work." So in case you're misinformed, it's a day you're not supposed to work, I guess. But that's a great family time to get together and different things you can do and catch up on things that you need to catch up on, I guess. Romans chapter 16, starting with verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. In Hebrews 9:14 it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works? And the phrase I wanted to emphasize out of Hebrews is, to serve the living God. I'd like to speak on serving the Lord together. To serve the living God. Think about that. We have the opportunity to serve the living God. Aquila and Priscilla were great examples of the Lord's servants. We'll say a little more about them in a moment. But think about this for a second. Jesus Christ came to this earth and took on the form of a servant. He served others. He washed the disciples' feet. He said, I am among you as he that serveth. So we know that the example of the Lord Jesus Christ was for us to follow, to have a spirit of serving. And so what a blessing and a privilege it is that we could serve the Lord. There are couples that we read of in the Bible that serve the Lord together. And obviously you have Adam and Eve, you have Abraham and Sarah, Boaz and Ruth. But Priscilla and Aquila are a great example of the early church in the New Testament. Turn with me, please, to Acts 18. The book of Acts, chapter 18 and verse 24. Acts 18:24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So you see how Aquila and Priscilla saw this promising young man who was eloquent, who was strong in Scripture, but he only knew the baptism of John, not that of Jesus Christ. And so they brought him to the home and say, Apollos, come into our home. Now when you read about Apollos in the church at Corinth, he was so prominent that of the division, some of them said, we're of Apollos. And so he was definitely a leader in the early church. But they said, we're going to help this young man. We're going to minister to him. So both Aquila and Priscilla served the Lord by helping someone else, by discipling this man, Apollos, by encouraging him. It says that, you know, all the churches of the Gentiles were blessed by them. The Apostle Paul was blessed by them. They served alongside him. If you think about it, their priority of life was the ministry. Now, as far as we know, Aquila was not a deacon. He was not a pastor. He was not an apostle. We would call him today a layman. But his heart was in the ministry. His life was to serve God. And his wife was the same way. They both said, we want to do something that we can serve the Lord. Their priority was a ministry. They helped the church. They held services in their home. It doesn't say this, but they probably had some food too, maybe some cookies and little finger food after the fellowship. And so they brought people into their home so that people could learn the Word of God. People could grow in grace. And I can just picture them talking to people about the Lord and how they got saved and how they can grow and how they can serve the Lord and talking about doctrine. You can just picture this couple that whenever you met them, you knew they were special people because they had a heart to serve the Lord. Their priority was a ministry. They helped with the church. And the Bible says they risked their own lives for the gospel's sake. The way it says it, they laid down their neck. I mean, they were willing to give their very life for the service of the Lord. So they evidently went through some very dangerous times like the Apostle Paul. They didn't care. We're going to serve God was their attitude. And they had a reputation among the churches. So everybody knew. You mentioned Aquila and Priscilla. Oh, yeah, we know them. They love God. They were a great example. So when everybody thought of them and they saw them or met them, they said, they are great Christians. I want to pattern my life after them. I can imagine parents would say to their children, these people are great Christian people. They love the Lord. They're serving the Lord. Follow their example. Learn from them. Have a spirit like them. And so they had a reputation among the churches. And the believers were thankful for their labor, for their testimony, because it helped them. You know, there were people that would say, boy, I don't know where I'd be if it weren't for Aquila and Priscilla. You know, they led me to the Lord. They helped me grow in the Lord. They helped me with some problem that I had. Or, you know, my past was very sordid. It was bad. And boy, they helped. They changed my life. You see how this couple was a great example. And they had a reputation. So people said, they've helped me. And that's a blessing. You know, if somebody comes up to you and they say, you've been a real blessing to me, that encourages you, doesn't it? That's what you want to do. You want to be a blessing. Well, Aquila and Priscilla are not just the only people that can serve God. You know, we don't just look at someone and say, well, I wish I could be like them, but no one could be like them. Well, you know, they set a pattern, and we can be like God wants us to be. We can be an example. And we ought to learn from them and take the challenge to say, I'm going to serve God. A husband and wife should determine, we're going to serve God together. And by the way, we have a lot of young people that, you know, you marry somebody, determine that you're going to marry somebody who wants to serve the Lord. You know, if you might think, well, it's not that important. I mean, you know, he's got blood in his veins, he's alive, he's breathing, that's good enough. That may not be good enough. You know, well, she's really pretty, but if she doesn't have a heart to serve the Lord, and if she can't cook and if she can't take care of the house, and all she does is destroy the ozone with hairspray, you know, that wears thin after a while. There ought to be a desire in that person that you marry that says, I want to serve God. I want to live for the Lord. Because you're a team, you're together, and you can serve God together. And not only that, the children can serve the Lord together. You know, I know people, they took their whole family on a bus route. You know, and they said, we're going to go out and visit and knock on doors. And kids grew up on a bus route, and they saw two or three generations that served the Lord in a bus ministry. You know, there are many, many ways that kids can get involved and young people can get involved. Work days and activities and Bible school and camps. And, you know, there are just so many things that, you know, your children can serve God playing music or singing or, you know, there's a way to serve the Lord. And they can influence others for Christ. So we ought to have a heart to serve the Lord with our family. And not only our immediate family, but our church family. Do you realize what a blessing it is to serve the Lord together? One another. There are so many things you can look back in the past now Church is over 41 years old. I didn't go all the way back to the beginning. I can tell you just great, great memories of things that people have done together and serving God. And it's a great, great blessing. People have been saved. I remember taking a man out on visitation. And while we were out on visitation, I was witnessing somebody. And the man was saved, already knew the Lord, and he gave good testimony. And then he turned to my partner I went with, and he said, "Tell me your testimony." And a man kind of struggled. You know, it's like I'm looking at him. The church was new at the time. And we sat in the parking lot. We had just bought this property, and we sat in the parking lot in my car. And I led him to the Lord that night. He was going out on visitation, and he got saved that night. You know, that's a great memory. Boy, I can tell you, teen activities. We used to play softball right here. My wife's out here. She'd bat left-handed. And she would stand out there. I mean, we played softball. The teens, they'd sit on a rock wall over here before this church was even built. I mean, they had great memories of serving the Lord. I mean, watermelons, roasting pigs, picnics, you know, their camps. And there are just all kinds of things that it was a way to serve God together, the church family. And going out and knocking on doors and the bus ministry and visitation. Serving God together is a great blessing. And that's what we see in the life of Aquila and Priscilla. They were a great example of that. But we can do that. We can have a heart to serve others. Having a Bible study and having someone to disciple and work with. You know, I think there's a time when people serve you. But then there's a time when we serve others. So as we grow in the Lord, it's a blessing that as a church family, there are things we can do to serve the Lord together. Further, I've had the privilege of serving together with many other preachers and missionaries. Going on a mission field, we have a number of people that have gone on a mission field and done things with others. This week, Thursday and Friday, we have college students, and anyone in the church is welcome to go. We're going to Rhode Island. One of our graduates in the night school is starting a church in East Providence, Rhode Island, Tony Barbosa. And so this is a great thing, and we can support someone like that. I mean, that's like New Testament times. We're going somewhere and knocking on doors, handing out flyers, encouraging people to come be a part of this new church. Now, if you speak Portuguese, that's even an added incentive, because a lot of the people there are Portuguese. If you don't know Portuguese, that's all right. You can just hand it out and look stupid. But it's a great blessing to serve the Lord together. And we many times are working side by side with choice servants. Joshua 24, Joshua made this statement, and you've heard this verse, I'm sure. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, he did serve the Lord, and evidently his family served the Lord. He came to the end of his way, and he made that statement again. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve God." I think that's a great testimony. Remember the story of Brother Tharp, who had three boys when he had already started his family, and he got saved. I mean, God really worked in his life. And he dedicated his life to serving the Lord. And he sat his boys down, all three of them. He said, "Sons, you realize now I'm a Christian, I'm saved." And he said, "We're going to serve God. Do you understand that? We're going to serve the Lord." All three of those boys are in the ministry today, both preaching and music. All three of them. Because he said, "We are going to serve the Lord." What a blessing that is. And I'll tell you, they're all great preachers and great Christian men. And so there has to be a spirit and an attitude that says, "I'm going to serve God. My family is going to serve God. Our children are going to serve God." And so we work together to carry that out. Matthew makes it clear, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve money. You can't serve material things at the same time serve God. Now, we all have to have money. We all have to have material things. The question is, who do you serve? God provides for you if you just serve Him. He'll take care of you. So there ought to be an attitude of serving the Lord. There was a meeting between David Livingston, the great missionary statesman, missionary to Africa, and he met Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon, he had an extensive ministry in England. And we have many, many things written by him today. There's probably more books written by him than any other pastor that's ever lived. And David Livingstone met with him, and he said, "How can one person accomplish so much?" And he said, "But you forget there's two of us." His wife was an invalid, raised two boys to serve the Lord, but she conducted a book ministry. And all the books were given away free to young preachers to help them in the ministry. And of all the books that you read by Spurgeon and that you pick up, just keep in mind, there was a wife who stood behind him serving the Lord, even though an invalid said, "I'm going to give my best to God." And so there were two of them working together. Well, let's think about this for a second. If we decide to serve the Lord, it is a blessing. It's not a curse. It's not a great weight that you carry around. There's nothing better than serving God and living your life for the Lord. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith." We have a little song that we sing. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. There is a blessing in serving the Lord. It's not a bad thing. You're not really giving up that much. And you look at the way of the transgressor is hard. Look at the problems that people have by serving the world and serving and living for themselves. Serving the Lord is a great thing. It's a blessing. It's a joy. 1 John 1:4 says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy might be full." Well, he meant what he said. You know, understanding the Word of God and living by the Word of God is how we find the fullness of joy, the greatest of happiness. If you read through the book of Philippians, we read about there was persecution to the church, but we see the words joy and rejoice more in that book than any other book. There was joy in serving the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 2, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Serve Him with gladness. It's not a great burden. It's not, you know, you don't have to take a vow of poverty and say, "Well, I've just given everything. I don't have anything. And, you know, I'm going to look like I've been eating lemons and, you know, my contorted face and sad." You don't have to do that. There's joy in serving the Lord. There's happiness. That it is a blessing. What a great opportunity. And by the way, take advantage of it, because the night's coming when no man will work. You know, our time is short. The Lord's returning soon, and we're getting older. Our time is limited. Now is the time to serve the Lord. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So we can serve the Lord. We can make a difference in people's lives. And remember the words of Jesus, "It's more blessed to give than receive." You know, and that's not only financially, but with our lives. It is a greater blessing to serve than to be served. So your life can make a difference. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Philippians 2:16, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." He said, "I've offered myself in a way of service. I have given myself, and there is joy in knowing I have done something of value." You know, there are a lot of accomplishments that you can have in life. You can say, "Look at this business I built. Oh, look at this race I won." You know, look at the clothes that I have. Look at the home in which I live. But when you say, here I've given my heart and life to serve God, as a result, people have been saved. I understand what he means. There's no greater joy. And Paul said, there's no greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth. So to see someone that you've influenced and helped and served walking in the truth, giving their life to God, that is such a great blessing. For every Sunday school teacher, these children have come to you at a very young age, and maybe a lower elementary, and you watch them grow, and you watch them go through the teen years, and then go into college, and then maybe in the ministry or in a mission field. What joy that is to know you had a part in their lives, that you one day had them sitting in your class, and you were teaching the Bible in Sunday school. You had them at camp or in the teen group. You had them in vacation Bible school. And you had a part in their lives. What great joy there is in that. Or seeing a family and you put your arm around them and said, let me help you grow in the Lord and spend some time with them, teaching them the Word of God. And you watch them as they get involved and start serving God. There is no greater joy. So your life can make a difference in serving the Lord. And when you serve God, you know what it does? When you start serving the Lord, then you forget about your own problems. If you came in this morning with great burdens and problems, you know what the greatest medicine would be? Be concerned about someone else. Serve someone else. And you get so involved helping someone else, you forget about your own problems. It's an amazing, amazing thing. We start worrying about ourselves, and we just get so wrapped up in our problems and our illnesses. You know, my big toe hurts, and my back's not got to have an operation, and, you know, I can't think clearly anymore. And, well, if you just say, I'm going to do something to help someone else, there's something about it. I don't know what it is. There's something about it. When you start serving others, you feel better about yourself. You know, you just feel happier. You know, and you, just simple thing, we have a lot of people who carry candy with them and hand it out to all the kids. You know why they do that? It's not for the kids, for themselves. By that I mean, it gives them happiness to know they're making someone else happy. Really. It's a blessing to serve others. Your life can make a difference. It helps us forget our own troubles. And it allows us to use gifts that God has given us. Now, everybody has different gifts. They're not all the same. Some of them are showy, and some of them are, you know, they're very evident, while others, quietly, we just serve the Lord. But whatever that gift might be, God allows us to use those gifts for Him. As a young Christian, as a young preacher, sometimes I'd meet people or talk to people, and I thought, boy, if that person got saved, just think the influence that they could have. They're so talented. They have such a great personality. Wow, think of the impact they could have. And one day I realized, you know, it's not what the great talented people can do, it's what people who are saved can do. No matter what your talent might be, you may not be that gifted. And I've seen people that they may not be greatly gifted like others, but they're gifted in the fact that they use those gifts to serve God. And they just do whatever they can. They help in whatever way they can help. You know, that's a great blessing. Just, they roll up their sleeves and say, what can I do? You know, how can I help? Is there anything I can do? That's a great blessing. There is joy in serving the Lord. And not only can we use our gifts, but we have fruit to our account. We have fruit to our account. I remember there was a missionary that came by one day, and he, I knew who he was, but he told me a story. He said, you know, you preached in chapel, Bible college, and he said, I got saved through the message that you preached at Bible college. I didn't even know it. I did not know that. And I wonder how many people we might have influenced by just handing out a tract. Someone that we talked to. I remember going on visitation, and I was talking to the husband, and the wife kind of hid from me. So I said, all right, I'll talk to whoever's here. And I witnessed to him, gave him the gospel, and explained it as clearly as I could, not realizing his wife was behind the wall listening to everything I said. And that night she got saved and her husband didn't. I didn't know that till later. I remember we met in the Congregational Church. They had a little chapel next to it downtown. It was in our first year of the church. And there was a businessman from downtown that I went to their home, and it was a blended home. They had his, hers, theirs. I mean, they had I don't know, 7, 8 kids, all just, you know, men that, and they were just kind of starting life all over again. And I started witnessing to him. His wife was already saved. And I said, you know, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? And he said, oh, yes, I have. And I was baffled because his wife told me he wasn't saved, and I didn't think he was saved. And I said, well, when did you get saved? He said, well, last Sunday morning at church, you asked to bow your head and pray, and he said, I did. I didn't know that. If he hadn't told me, I'd never have known that. There are going to be souls saved as a result of your effort that you may not even realize, the good that has been done. So we will have fruit. We can rejoice over those that were helped and influenced, encouraged, and challenged. You can be a blessing. You know what else? Someday you're going to realize, you know, I couldn't do a whole lot, but I paid the way for a kid to go to camp, and maybe that kid got saved. Or they went on the ministry and led someone else to the Lord. Say you help someone, fruit to your account. There is that blessing and joy of serving the Lord. And even though we may face trials, sometimes they come. There can be joy, and it is a blessing to serve the Lord even through trials. Listen to this. Peter said, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, as we face trials, as we face struggles, and we will, there's joy just knowing I'm doing what I can for the Lord. What does it mean to serve God? When are we serving God, or when are we just doing something? You know, in a way, I guess you might serve God by coming to church, but that's not really what we're talking about. You know, there are very tangible ways in which we can say, I want to do something that makes a difference, helping to carry out the Great Commission. Here is what somebody wrote, and I like the way they said it. What does it mean to serve the Lord? It means that your entire life, which includes how you live, what you think, say, or do, must be an act of service to God. Everything in your life, not just Sunday morning, not just going on visitation, not just when you're singing in the choir, but every part of your life, everything that you do, every dime you spend, every place you go, every person with whom you speak, everything we're doing, it should be to serve God. We are Christians. We're like Christ. We are to serve him, to be an example, a reflection of his glory. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we present ourselves to God, our whole life, and we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I can tell you people from this church that came to an altar and said, Lord, I'm going to give my very best to you. Whatever you want, that's what I want. And I can point to that point in their life and say, things changed when they committed their life to the Lord. From that time of dedication, you saw God use them in a great and a wonderful way. So our entire life should be dedicated to serving God in everything we do, raising a family, our marriage, and obviously our involvement in church or any ministry. But everything we do, everything we own, should be dedicated to serving God. Even in our home, it ought to look like a Christian home. Every teenager's room ought to look like a Christian teenager's room. I mean, all the music we listen to, it ought to be Christian music that's honoring unto the Lord. You know, we were slaves to sin. Now we are to be slaves or servants to the Lord. One young couple said, you know, we used to smoke pot and do drugs, and, you know, we'd spend $50, $60, $70 a week just doing all that. And they said, you know, it's not really a problem to be able to tithe and give that to the Lord instead of wasting it the way we were. And they counted that as a great blessing. So they were slaves to sin. Now they were serving the Lord. A friend of mine was serving the Lord. By the way, last week in the bulletin, we had a note. I was going to say something I didn't about Jonathan Reiser starting his church. We helped him. We gave him, I don't know, $1,000 or $1,200 to help start this church in southern Indiana. It was his grandfather that I'm going to give this reference to. And his grandfather lived for the world for, I don't know how many years, 25 years. And he got saved and he said, now I've lived for the devil for those many years. I'm going to serve God for 25 years. He was involved in the bus ministry for that entire time. There are numerous young people who are in the service today, living for God, serving God in the ministry because of his effort. And he died exactly 25 years. He served the Lord exactly the same amount of time he served the devil. I think maybe it was 30 years. And so he served the Lord all those years. His grandson now starting a church today. They took his casket in a bus to the cemetery when they buried him. Here's somebody committed to serving the Lord. What a blessing to be able to dedicate your life. Our lives belong to him. We own nothing. Everything belongs to him. Everything we have, the money we spend, the time we have, our abilities. That doesn't mean you shouldn't take a day off and rest or have a vacation or buy something for yourself. It doesn't mean that, but we have to remember, everything we have belongs to him. Everything. That is a commitment to serve the Lord. Paul said, so whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's a great blessing to be able to, everything I'm doing it to serve the Lord. So let me ask you a question. If we think about the meaning of serving God, it means that we're involved in some way doing something that honors him, that serves others, that gets out the gospel. What is your goal in life? What drives you? What is most important to you? I'll tell you what it ought to be for all of us. That is to see lost souls come to know Christ as their Savior. That should be our ultimate goal. Even the goal of this church is not to build a big church. It's to see people saved. It's to help others come to Christ. Do you pray for the salvation of loved ones? Are you witnessing to people? Do you talk to people whom you work with? Are you praying for opportunities to reach others with the Word of God? Do you regularly give offerings and tithe to carry on the Lord's work? I can tell you many stories, some of them firsthand, people that were committed in giving to the Lord's work. And great things happen as a result of that. I'll give you one example of R.G. Letourneau. Some of you may have heard of a turnipole, huge earth-moving equipment, and R.G. Letourneau invented that. He invented a number of things. He also invented the cutoffs and a muffler to make loud noises or fool around that before he got saved. But he was an inventor, and he saw that he could give great sums of money to the Lord's work, and he started doing that. One year he decided, you know, if I stop giving to the Lord's work, saved all that money, I'll have so much more, and then I can give more to the Lord's work. And that year he went bankrupt. And then he learned his lesson. And he started giving and giving and giving. And as a result, God made him very, very wealthy. And there was a college, Letourneau College in Texas, named after R.G. Letourneau. He had a great impact at giving. You know, Hiles Anderson College was partly a result of a man named Russell Anderson, a wealthy businessman, who gave and helped other colleges and other causes. Working hard with his hands, he said, here's a way to serve the Lord. And I can give you numerous other names of people that said, I'm going to use the money that God has given me and blessed me with, and I'm going to use that to help others, to see the Word of God go forward. Then do you give a portion of your time daily to the Lord? That's important, to give time to the Lord. Boy, we get so busy, don't we? I don't know what we do, but we get so busy, and we're running here and there. Do we stop and give a little bit of time to the Lord? Then are you concerned about others and the welfare of others? Are you praying for other people, serving one another? Galatians 5:13 says, brethren, you've been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Are we serving one another? Are we concerned about others? Are we concerned about the lost? Are we concerned about guests and visitors that come to church? Are we concerned about those whom we meet around us daily? What does it mean to serve the Lord? It means we're serving others by reaching with the gospel, handing out tracts, involved in a ministry. It means that really our life is dedicated to Him. We're His servant. We're His bond slave. That's what Paul said. He was a bond slave. Whatever He wants me to do, that's what I want for my life. Well, what good does that do? Well, let me tell you the result of serving the Lord. Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman. Says her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. You know, that means something. When your children, your family say, you've been a great blessing, you're a great person, you're a great woman, a great mother, that means something. And so we have that testimony. Souls are saved as a result of our serving the Lord. You know, I can't think of anything greater than seeing someone else come to know the Lord. The church is edified and built up. I've given this example several times, but what if you came next Sunday and you were the only one here and an assistant pastor is preaching? I'm not even here. You'd say, what's wrong? Where'd everybody go? Would that be edifying? Probably not. And what if you came next Sunday back to Sunday school? You know, back to church month, back to Sunday school, suddenly you see people you didn't even know. You know, there's nowhere to park. You have to park on the grass out in the back. You come in, there's nowhere to sit. In fact, someone's sitting in your seat. But the truth is, it'd be edifying because of the enthusiasm you see what God is doing. Hey, let me point something out to you. Every week, someone's prepared a message, spent time preparing a message. Somebody has worked hard on singing in the choir, the music, and practicing. Someone is prepared to play the pianos and the instruments and to do a special, do the offering, clean the church building, office work, getting things mailed out and done, and preparing a Sunday school lesson. And if you didn't show up, would that be edifying? It's edifying when you're serving God and you're dedicated to serve the Lord. Imagine if every single person in this church or any church said, I'm committing my life to God. I'm going to serve the Lord. It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Think of the impact that would have. Wow. And I realize we're all at different stages, different levels. But if we just had the commitment to say, man, I'm going to forget about my worries. I'm just going to recommit to serve God. The church is edified. The next generation is built up and strengthened and trained. Children see people who love the Lord, and they know it's not hypocritical, that they're genuine. That'll have a great impact on their lives. Backsliders are restored, and they come back to the Lord because people were praying for them, and God got a hold of their heart. Missionaries are sent out all over the world. Churches are planted in areas where they're needed. And then there's a reward that awaits for those that serve the Lord. There are crowns that are handed out. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And in the end, our faithful service glorifies God. We were created for his glory. All that we should do is for his glory. And by our service, he's glorified. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Hey, husbands and wives, families, children, we can serve the Lord. We can determine our heart. I'm going to give my best. I'm going to get involved. I'm getting on. I am going to do all that I can with the days that I have to serve the Lord. Let's bow for prayer.